We need to.
Yeah, we are back to people.
Yes, we need to proceed. We need to proceed. Now that the MEC is gone of, I was going to give the opportunity to the MEC of Eastern Cape. Then he asked to be excused. I will then allow the Mpumalanga team, because it's a full complement, to start. The MEC of Limpopo has joined us as well. Welcome, MEC Makamu. Can Keith get that away from my meeting, Honorable Joe? Grandchildren must be away.
It's not me, Chair.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's not me.
Who's N.W. Pala? N.W. Pala, Thomas Kolokoto, Yimi Lengele, and Zanele Kumalo. One of you is either to your children. Can you mute your microphones, please? HOD Cockstar Limpopo, is the MEC still here? HOD? Ngata?
Afternoon, Chairperson. It's Mujaji, the DDG. We are struggling with connectivity. I think HOD might have been kicked off because we are on and off. I'll just quickly check here.
Matlo, now it's you. So you're struggling. Matlo, mute your microphone, Matlo. Cockstar MEC boardroom. Then I'm tempted to follow my program, because all the political principals I have thought they're gonna start, they are not here. I will allow your bed, you were not yet. I called your name, MEC.
Oh, I hear the mama.
Yes. Are you ready, Mpumalanga, to present?
Yes, we are ready.
Do that.
Thank you very much.
I nearly gave you a lot to Limpopo just at the PT, the MEC. He called me, he was back. So, proceed.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mpumalanga, for the opportunity. Let me take this opportunity to greet you and the portfolio committee members, my counterpart from other provinces, SALGA president and the leadership of SALGA, all our officials, executive mayors. Let us first appreciate the opportunity given to deal with the issue of the amalgamation of the city of Mbombela, which was initially Mbombela municipality and Mjindi municipality. I'm not going to bother the meeting with introduction, but we will just indicate that there are five issues that we're going to present on, which is good governance, basic services, financial management, public education, and building capable institutions. We'll then go to the assessment on the sustainability of the amalgamated city of Mbombela, and we'll then go to the conclusion. Chair, we must indicate that maybe it's a blessing in disguise. When this process took place, we were still working in Mbombela. I was a councillor there. and for that matter, I was a speaker of that municipality. So I would have the advantage at least to know most of the things that were happening there. Submission was made for the amalgamation of Mchindi, which was MP323, and Bombela, which was MP302, with a view to optimize the financial viability, improving of the service delivery, and sound municipal governance of the new municipality. I don't know, Mam Faith, whether we should beam the presentation here, but I thought I would do a summary, will be advised by yourself.
Okay, you can beam it as you're talking to it, that will help. We are the only presenter, MEC, I suppose, on this matter. Sure.
Yes. King Jody, can you be helped too in the beaming of the presentation?
Yes, indeed, we are loading, Honorable MEC.
Yes.
It is going to be loaded immediately.
Sure.
Thank you. Can you please go to page five, which speaks about the background. I'm going to touch the issues of the number of councillors that were there before the amalgamation. The Mchindi local municipality had 18 councillors. Can you go to page five? And then Bombela municipality had 78 councillors. And after the amalgamation, Honorable Chair, the total number of councillors in the city of Mombela is 90 now. I'm going to give an analysis of the performance before the amalgamation and after the amalgamation. We're going to start on good governance in relation to the democratic profile. I don't know because they only... whether that's why Chairperson is there, because there I only see the first page. Whether when we speak that right, they also peruse other pages, because we're already in page 8. The population of Mchindi in 2016, 15-16, before the amalgamation was 67,000. And the population of Mbombela was 588,000. Combined is 655,000 currently, 950. And there's been an increase of 24,106 households as per the 2016 household survey, and this equates to 2.5% growth. In terms of good governance, the municipality of Mchindi had political stability, and their troika used to meet frequently, and their council used to set, and the Section 7, 9, and 8 committees were functional. And post-amalgamation, the troika of the municipality Mombela is meeting well. And currently Mombela, they've got Section 79 that have been established and Section 80 committees that are used as cluster as the cluster for governance modeling, because Section 80 is when the mayor appoints ad hoc committee for specific purposes. So currently in the municipality, there's stability, the troika is meeting, and council is sitting as per legislative requirement, despite the fact that there was a COVID, they could not meet physically. We must also engage here that we've got the MEC for Treasury here, who is part of our work, because remember, in Mpumalanga province, the function of municipal finance is with provincial treasury, but legislative is still rest with COCTE. In terms of oversight committees, their committee Section 79 in Mchindi were functional, their impact was functional, and their audit committee was functional. And as much as Mbombela, their Section 79 was functionally, and even now the situation is the same in terms of their Section 79, which are functional. Chair, we must indicate that the challenge the merger between Mjindi and Bombela poses a challenge because you had two municipal managers. And in the process, you had then to have a post of a municipal manager and a deputy municipal manager. Currently in the municipality, there are two deputy municipal managers. And the cabinet has since resolved that we are going to review the organogram because there's no need for deputy municipal manager in municipality. It's not legislated. It's only Section 56, which report to the municipal manager of Section 57. So there's no need for deputy municipal manager. We are going to come close with the leadership of the municipality and local labor forum to review the issue of two municipal managers. In terms of basic services, on water provision, in 1516, 23,702 people of Mjindi had access to potable water. I mean, 23,000 households had access to potable water, and it was 89%. In Bombela, it was 181,000. It was 77%. After the amalgamation, 205,000 people have got access to 181,366 people have got access to water, which is 88% in relation to percentage. In terms of sanitation, in Mjindi, out of 23,000 households, 22,000 had access to sanitation, which was 95%. And in Bombela, it was 174,000 out of 181. That was 96%. And now currently, the access to sanitation is at 96.2. On access on electricity, pre-amalgamation, Mjindi, it was 89% on 21,102 people. And Bombela, it was 96% on 175,378 people. Currently, it's 96% is of 188,720 of 205. The expenditure on MIG, Honorable Chair and Member. Previously, pre-ML Commission, the allocation of MIG to Mjindi was 40 million. And Bombela was at 298 million. Post, the allocation of MIG is 339 million rand. In terms of their spatial rationale, the SDF of Mjindi was approved and implemented then, and they failed to adopt Pluma by then before the amalgamation. And in Bombela, the SDF was approved and implemented, and the municipality was ready to implement Pluma, and the amalgamation kicks in. Currently, the SDF has been approved. They are in the process of Pluma to prepare for the land use scheme as a municipality. In terms of local economic development, Honorable Chair, in Mjindi, there was no LET strategy. There was only a forum which was not operating ad hoc.
Is the HOD not following what you are saying? He has just put the picture. I thought the HOD is following what you are saying. Then you will continue to screen where you are zooming these matters.
Yeah, that's what I said.
On duty. But here, the only thing that is here is the cover of your screen throughout.
Yes.
The cover of the presentation. HOD, you can't be sleeping on duty, HOD, please.
No, Chair, I'm on LED. I'm not sure what's happening with the system. Maybe delays. But I am on LED.
It's only the
cover page here.
That's the cover page throughout. That's why it's
happening. I'll just check now, Honorable Chair, because I'm on LED. I'm not sure what must have been happening now, because I thought we were moving together with the Honorable MEC. I'm not sure what reflects on the other side. But from my screen, I am on LED.
We've been waiting patiently, so, but it's still the cover page of the presentation.
Can we check what's happening? Because we are moving together. Honorable Chair, my apologies. I'll just get it sorted now, because I thought we were moving all together. see, it's stuck on the cover page. It's not moving at all.
You need to get your tether moving. Juliana, who's Juliana now?
Can I check with you, Honorable Chair?
Yeah, it was there now. You removed it. It was there now. You back to your server page.
Jay, I'm sharing it from my side.
Yeah, page 19.
Page 19 is sharing.
On basic services, yes. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, there we go.
I've spoken about all the matters, Chair, in relation to the percentage, in relation to what access foundation. Now I'm going to speak about LED. Umchindi, Chair, Umchindi and Bombela initially had separate tribunals, but it has been merged. Now they've got a single tribunal, which deals about issues of the land and development, which is a good thing. In terms of the LED strategy of Mbombela is not approved, it's still a draft. We are going to urge the municipality to move quicker because one of the most things people of Jindi are crying about is the issue that they thought that because they are merging with Mbombela, they are going to be help on the issues of mine. There's a lot of...
I want to
request that they finalize. Yes, Chair. This strategy, so that we see whether the issues of the mine, which people had hoped from Jindi and surrounding, will be able to benefit. It's also a strategic area in relation to tourism. There's a Makonjwa, a mountain which is listed as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. We believe that together with the MEC for Treasure in the province, who's also heading tourism, we'll be able to come close to the space and help the municipality to seize opportunities in relation to tourism or tourist attraction and visit. Where, because it has also included issues of safety. We've always got engagement with the Minister of Safety. Our tourists, Honorable Chair, our tourists at some point are being attacked by criminals. So it's a matter which we're going to seize upon to ensure that the municipality is able to enhance revenue collection to that effect. On financial management, in the 15-16 pre, the amalgamation, Umchindi got unqualified audit opinion. And Mbombela also got unqualified audit opinion. In 17-18, they also got unqualified audit opinion. However, in 18-19, the city of Mbombela has regressed to qualified audit opinion. In terms of the upper limits, these are numbers there. In 17-18, currently, the municipality is at grade 5. Umchindi was at grade 3, Mbombela was at grade 5. And I saw that the municipality has moved to grade 6. Recently, we will hear from the leadership. Our information is that they move to grade 6. On financial management, Chair, the audit outcomes has remained unchanged in 15-16 to 17-18. As we have said, they have regressed to qualifications in 18-19. The demarcation traditional grant was provided to the municipality to facilitate the integration of the system. There's a challenge on the billing system. It is inaccurate, and that is still persisting in that municipality. There's also low consumer payment rate by township and rural communities. This municipality, Honorable Chair, is comprised almost of close to 75% rural and township, and people there out of injuries, including high rate of unemployment, are not paying. Also, the culture of payment is not there. And we've got a program as a provincial co-opter with the municipalities to ensure that we always...
I'm so sorry, MEC. Honorable Mpumza, can you mute your microphone, please? Honorable Mpumza, can you mute your microphone, please? Proceed, MEC.
Thank you, MEC. In terms of public participation, the previous municipality meeting had 9 wards. They were all functional, and Bombela had 39 wards. 18 out of 13 were functional. And there's a lot of improvement currently. Out of there's 45 wards. Out of the 45 wards in Bombela, 35 ward committees are functional. Public participation structures are in place, except the non-establishment of ward committee at ward 26, which recently, in 2 weeks ago, were told that there was an establishment, but we received letters of complaint about the manner it has been run. It's a matter which we will come close to the office of the speaker, although we must indicate, Chair, we still have to talk to the clerk of the speaker, which is non-cooperative and non-responsive when raised matters cocked and problems. The traditional leaders are participating in all municipal processes. There are all rooms, but Chair, because of COVID, they've not been so effective. Because most of the people who are in the whole room, some of them don't have the gadgets, and it becomes difficult for them to be able to connect. So there were some challenges in relation to that. That's why later on you will see when we present. Because of that, there were a lot of demonstrations. People are starting to argue that, no, we're not being consulted. But the municipality always go to the media to speak about its programs. And you also see that in newspapers, they are also advertising on their program. It's just that there's no physical contact because of COVID. Now, as I've indicated that recently in Mjindi, Chair, the chairperson of the board, if you recall, people of Mjindi completely shut down the area, the former Mjindi municipality. The argument was that since the amalgamation, they don't see any fruits of beneficiation. When the municipality was only Mjindi, they had 9 wards, and they knew that if there will be tenders going out, people of Mjindi will be able to also get an opportunity. Now, because they are included in Bombela, they feel that they no longer have control of those things. They also wanted a de-establishment. They wanted to move out of the amalgamation. We went there as a province, together with the executive members of the municipality. We talked to them. We engaged with the chairperson and the MDP, and a response was given to them that the matter will only be looked after the 2021 local government election. We hope and believe that we will be able to deal with the issue that I spoke about, of ensuring that we deal the issue of the mine, the tourism, and they feel that they are part of the economy of the city of Mamel, they will be able to have a lot of noise, the matter which is manageable. Mjindi previously had 7 posts, and all the posts were filled by males. Mbombela had 8 posts, only 2 were by females, 6 were males. Currently, there are approved in Bombela, which 2 are still filled by females. The challenge of the municipality appointing female candidates, and the 10 posts are filled by people with disabilities. On building of Kapolu State on page 29, we are indicating that the 2 municipalities resulted in the city of Bombela having satellite centers which improved the coordination of service delivery. However, there was a time where people of Mjindi had a problem. They had to travel to Nelspruit, and they want to appreciate that the municipality, after we engaged with them, they have improved. They have got officials now who are servicing the people in the former municipal office, because they had to go to get proof of residence to the head office, but currently they are getting the proof there. And previously they were getting the proof of free, and after we have engaged with the municipality, they are also being provided with the proof of free, which is a good improvement. The municipality has got 1 single organogram. I've indicated, Chair, that it's aligned to ITP and STP. However, we have to deal with the issue of the... Well, our view is that the chief municipal manager must cease the, after the term of his finish, we must review the organogram. And the process of placement of staff was well concluded. Okay, the structure was approved in 2019, and a number of posts are there. 5207, only 1,961 are filled, and there's a vacancy of 3,246 posts in the municipality. The number of males that are there are 1,227, females are 734. You can see that it's a male-dominated municipality. And young people is 48, and only 10 are people with disability. So the municipality will be the biggest challenge in ensuring that there's implementation of employment equity plan. And only 2 senior managers out of 15 are female. In relation to the support that the city was provided with, these are the interventions. We're working as COCTA with the department, with the DPSA. We have established a PMS pronounced by the Premier. We are providing support to all municipalities on getting lending and unlending facilities from CBSA. And it is helping us a lot, Honorable Chair. In relation to where municipalities don't have capacity, ourselves as COCTA, the COG, District, MISA, we always collectively work together with provincial treasurers. We are providing support to strengthen the functionality of the impact municipality. However, I must indicate that we're not satisfied because if MPEG was able to work after the UWIF, which is your unauthorized, wasteful, irregular, and fruitless expenditure, we'll have seen a lot of actions. We don't see a lot of actions. They meet the process issues, but they are not stinging, as we'll have expected them to do so. And we're also assisting the municipality with dealing with mushroom of informal settlement. Here, Chair, there's a lot of issue of land invasion. I've spoken to the MSP for treasury because in the province, there's also land for MEGA. However, Chair, during the MINMEC, and if you remember in the other meeting that we're having, it was indicated that municipalities are not doing their work when it comes to a mushrooming of informal settlement. I will make a practical example about Emalahleni, Chair. Emalahleni is having a debt of 4 billion owing to its core. And in most cases, it's water loss and electricity loss because people are connecting illegally to the infrastructure. So currently in the municipality, there's a lot of mushrooming. The municipality keeps quiet when this thing of land invasion happens. And the people then go there to put their structures. And what is going to happen? People are going to interfere with their underground stuff, and they are going to interfere with their electricity. And it is going to be a problem because they will be unable to collect revenue. So we are going to call a meeting with the MEC that everybody must do his work. The municipality must do its work to evict people that are invading the land. The other department, like your public works and your MEGA, they must also do their work to ensure, because in South Africa, there's no land called private land or MEGA land. There's wall-to-wall governance. Each municipality has got number of wards, and each activity belongs to a ward. So we can't be told that this land belongs to, if it belongs to a private owner, Honorable Chair, what?
Missing.
Must happen in terms of the law, people who must only approve. If the building plans are not approved, at least the municipality must go and demolish the houses instead of keeping quiet, and then later on this thing creates a problem. We're also supporting the municipality to ensure that MIG is spent and is spent accordingly and the projects are completed. Ourselves and provincial treasurer are supporting as well on all financial issues, including improving of the audit outcome. Our assessment after the amalgamation, Chair, is that there's a political stability in the municipality. We have raised the matter of the speaker that non-cooperative and non-responsive on matters and letters that were writing to him. In most cases, Chair, you've got councillors who are selling stands there. And the law is very simple. When people raise concerns to our office, we send it to the speaker, who forever not responds in these particular issues, and they create the response. There's also administrative stability there, Chair. I've raised the matter of the deputy municipal manager. I spoke about the issue of Mjindi protesting, and the matter has been responded thereof that after 2021. The municipality challenge is the water scarcity in the rural communities. Our province, like South Africa, Chair, is a water scarce province. Rains only come during festive season, around December, January. And we're relying on dams. Dams are very low. The municipality don't have a dam. There are plans to construct Mobela dam. The Premier has pronounced working on the plan. We believe that if we're going to have a dam, at least it will be able to relieve other areas. And most of our municipalities don't have bulk. they only have reticulation. So this is a serious problem. There's no special development growth on the periphery of the inner city. There are no new cities or new establishments that include industrial. People are coming to town, and only areas close to town are growing. People are building stadiums and whatnot. But the far rural areas, as it was before 1994, is still as is even today. You only see pavement roads, but there's nothing industrial that is going to help people to be employed and whatnot. There's no tangible of job creation. The unemployment rate, poverty, and inequality has increased due to the COVID-19. In conclusion, Chair, we are saying the amalgamation process has not yielded the desired results as wanted to see. And ourselves and other stakeholders are going to continue to support the municipality, and we're going to come close and work with them. The municipality must develop a general plan to address all the issues related under sustainability assessment. The communities of City of Mbombela continue to protest against poor service delivery. And Chair, we must raise a matter. I think National Treasury is here. The other serious problem about that municipality is that because it was hosting 2010, the powers was given to National Treasury to deal with their matters. It's the only municipality in the province out of the 17 municipalities, local municipalities, that are being handled by National Treasury. And it is not working. So we're going to request ourselves and together with the Minister of COGTA and the Minister of Treasury to bring back the function. Because every time we talk to the municipality, they've got the ego that, no, we're dealing with National Treasury. And Chair, currently, National Treasury will talk to us through MINMEX and budget forums. They will ask us, COGTA, what are you doing about these things? At times, we don't know these issues because they report, when they got letters or correspondence from National, recently, they got a correspondence from National. And it was not formally communicated to us that their budget that they've adopted is unfunded. So it's better the function is given to us as a province so that as a portfolio committee, when you ask us about performance, we'll not say to you, no, this municipality is being looked at upon about, with National Treasury. We want us as a province, that function to come back so that we are able to deal with the matter. But in long and short, Chair, this is what we can say in relation to the amalgamation process of the municipality. We must say as we conclude, we have vindicated, as I've raised the issue of National Treasury and whatnot, we've really come close. So now we're going to come close together with Treasury and work with the municipality and drill deep in their challenges so that we're able to come with proposal to move forward for development. Thank you, Chair.
So much, MEC, for the detailed presentation. Can I check with the municipality itself? Is there anything that the MEC didn't cover, or should I? Let me give you 10 minutes to add other issues that you feel they need to be considered by us.
Well, thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, and Councillor Executive Mayor for the City of Mumbai. Allow me to greet you and also greet the honorable members of the committee and the honorable MEC and the team from the province and other colleagues from other provinces and all stakeholders. Well, Chair, let me first say the MEC has covered a large ground. You know, the advantage is that the MEC was part of the institution as a speaker when the entire amalgamation was taking place. So he was facilitating all these meetings and everything. So he knows what happened throughout. Mm. And he was part of the life of the institution for his political career. So
He's only complaining now.
Yeah, I don't want to
speak that the person who replaced him not responsive. Very interesting statement.
He's the one. Proceed. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I didn't want to put it that way to say. some of the problems happened while the MEC was still with us. But in the last
it didn't disturb us. The MEC didn't disturb us.
Yeah.
There was no succession planning there.
Yeah, let's attribute these problems to him, Chairperson. No, just on a nutshell, to say we agree with the presentation to a larger extent, and there are a number of challenges and a number of strides. You see, just on the matter that the MEC finished off with all the 2010, we are still having a serious challenge that a lot of our resources were used towards that program, and unfortunately, the gentleman's agreement that the money will be recovered and be given back to the institution, and that's a lot of money. I think it was over 400 million that was used towards the 2010 program, and that created a serious financial instability in how we run our finances and the equitable share that we are receiving and everything else becomes insufficient to deal with the challenges that we created on that time. But that's a matter that we are pursuing with the Office of the MEC, and we are also engaging SALGA on it so that we can engage National Treasury to come closer to resolving that particular matter. On the amalgamation itself, it's true that there is a stability to a larger extent. When we did the consultation about the amalgamation process, there were few people who were not agreeing with the process, and those people did not disengage from that process of opposing the amalgamation. Though the majority of people in that area and all the other areas in the municipality has supported the amalgamation. So even now, currently, they are the same people. Then when it comes to service delivery, I will not go into much details. The MEC has covered a lot of ground in terms of the report, what we have done, and the resources that were deployed in the institution. It's a work in progress. The number of challenges we managed to overcome, like the placement process, though there's still some mushrooming issues that are coming through the processes, but these are the things that we're dealing with. We're just worried that it's only almost 5 years. We're still finalizing issues here and there pertaining to the amalgamation itself. So yeah, I just wanted to support the presentation, Honorable Chair, and say he has covered the entire process. I'm not sure from the municipal manager if there's something that we have left out. They will also indicate. I think he's connected. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Municipal manager of Mbombela.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to your good self and to the members of the committee.
We want to see you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to yourselves as well as to the other committee members and all protocols observed. There are just a few things here that I would also like to indicate that immediately after the amalgamation, we have experienced quite loss of grants. There were the demands that increased, most especially on water conservation. I think we lost the water service grant, which is our WSIG, and we're expected to fund most of the programs. We've recently lost again PTNG, which is another grant that we've lost, and that puts more
pressure. That they've lost.
Lost.
You think you've lost other grants now?
There are two grants that you were getting which have been discontinued. We are no longer getting them. The PTNG grant as well as the water service infrastructure grant. Now, that's one other thing that I wanted to indicate, putting a bit of strain to the Constitution, Chairperson. And one last thing that I want to highlight maybe on the
Are you no longer a water service authority?
Yes, we just lost the grant. The grant is no longer coming to us. But where?
You are still a water service authority?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's just the grant that we not get. On the issue of the unfunded budget, we do have budget discussions with National Treasury. And every time when they come here, we also get a representative from our provincial treasurer where we take discussions. The only challenge with our budget, maybe that I should also bring to that issue, we table a very good rate card reduction plan to cancel, which was approved by the council. Only challenge that we had was when we're implementing, we only had a problem just in the last quarter of where the municipality was quite excited to the result of COVID. Now, when we're preparing the budget,
Can I ask the MM of Musina to mute his microphone? It's causing a lot of disruption. We can't hear you. Can the MM of Musina mute his microphone, please? Proceed, MM.
Thanks, Chair. I was just indicating that on the issue of unfunded budget, we've had several discussions. We've had another one even as late as yesterday where we're engaging National Treasury. The challenge that we have is just on the creditors that way. We tabled the creditor reduction plan to cancel. We have been implementing it. It has been giving us results. The only challenge that we had with regard to the implementation of that plan was in the last quarter of 2019-2020 financial year, where there was a huge decline in the in our collection rate as a result of the lockdown plus this COVID. We have engaged National Treasury on that particular note. But on the other issues, I think the executive has covered. Thank you very much.
Okay. Colleagues, that's it from Mbombela and the Mpumalanga Kokta. Can I see a show of hands of the colleagues who want to interact with the Mpumalanga presentation?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, Honorable Mkalipi will also take Honorable Feza's issues. Yes, send them.
Yes, Chair.
The... I had to release him. He's not well. Eh?
Yes, Chair. Yes,
as well.
Yes, Chair.
So it will be Tlou, Feathers, Mkalipi. Who else? Okay. In that order. Honorable Tlou?
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My question will be based on the... My question will be based on the... Jindini my question will be on the Jindi Mbombela measure seems to tick all the red boxes in terms of governance, financial management, and public participation, but falls short on service delivery. Is the Mpumalanga Provincial Cocta in agreement regarding the re-demarcation of Jindi back in its original boundaries before the merger with Mbombela? Would this improve service delivery and thus alleviate the protest? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Mkaliti.
Thank you, Chair. I will basically ask on behalf of Honorable Tseza on this merger of these two municipalities. Basically, Honorable Tseza, team of Mpumalanga is saying that this amalgamation is causing more problems and people are suffering at Jindi, the former municipality called Jindi. And he's mentioning wards 45 and 41, whereby people are complaining about the cut of electricity and there is no information prior to the people. So basically what I was also listening to the mayor when he was presenting is to say that people are complaining to say that there is no direct contact as it was happening before when Umjindi was a municipality. So if the Mpumalanga team or colleagues can clarify the issue now, one of the reasons why this measure must produce a quality of life in terms of service delivery. If after the amalgamation has taken place and the people are suffering more than before, so what is the reason behind for the measure to take place? So I'm specifically asking on those service delivery in Ward 41 and Ward 45, where they are complaining about the spillage of sewer. And there was a pronouncement by the former minister in parliament to attend to these residents after the measure took place. Water leaks and cutoff are also usually issues that they are experiencing under this former Mjindi municipality. And basically, people are feeling neglected when they are under Mbombela. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Mkalik, did you also deal with your questions or they are all inclusive?
Yeah, no, all inclusive, Chair.
They are all inclusive. Yes. Then the MEC... The MMS raised the issue on the loss of grants, and maybe the MM must also expand further, because if these grants that the municipality is supposed to get and then you have lost them, what were the causal factor or the reasons for you not getting those grants anymore? The other issue, MEC, I want your honest opinion on this matter. With regard to the communities, because there's a feeling, like I said in my introductory remarks, there are instances wherein members of the public are saying, we were not supposed to be merged with this new municipality, because now the issue of service delivery is lacking. And then in terms of your public participation report, you are confirming that the communities of Umjindi are very much unhappy with this arrangement. Maybe I should get, are you actually now as a Mbombela, city of Mbombela, this will go to the mayor and the MM, are you actually able to service these communities? Why there is a lot of this satisfaction, in fact, that then they even want to be taken back to where they are. They want their own Umjindi municipality to be re-established. Are we actually then delivering the services in terms of Section 152 of the Constitution to that effect? It almost took you 3 years to approve. That's from Mbombela, only just a mere staff establishment. Then I should think so. Maybe this is the one that should go to you called the COG nationally and the MDB. Why can't we be able to build this capacity in a shorter time? Maybe you MEC, can't you then as a province also provide support so that at least if you are dealing with staff matters, if it's the longest period, that should have been done within 12 months. Then the other issue that Treasury must raise now, because this is the same case that we've learned from the MEC of Limpopo, on this issue that a Treasury has got control over certain municipalities. Maybe the colleagues from Treasury must make and us understand why. Because my experience since being in this portfolio, when you do that, there are not even physical persons that are there full-time to support. And then, like, as the MEC, Stevie is saying now, it becomes difficult for them to also then support and do oversight on such municipality, because they will always say, this is within the purview of treasury. Can you also maybe, treasury, national treasury, teach us the politics around you having control of on certain municipalities, and what are the basis of you doing that? Then there was the, on the issue of the unfunded budget, I think the MM managed to explain it a bit. But then the issue of the complaints of the community, I want that assurance. Then it's a pity the MEC throughout his presentation has been talking about the speaker who has not been responsive. So I wonder then also with regard to the public participation processes, how is it in the former Umjindi area of jurisdiction? So if we can get responses on these matters, I think that will assist us a great deal. The issue of grants, National COPTER must be able to deal with that as well. Though we know the WFIG, it's a water and sanitation grant that we can follow up with our counterparts to understand, but the municipality having given us the reason why they are not getting the grants, then it will assist us a great deal to follow up on this matter. Over to you, MEC and team.
No, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, once more for the opportunity. And let me appreciate honorable members for the questions and your and questions and comments. Let me start with Honorable Chloe. In terms of our view, whether what I was saying about the municipality one go to its original boundary as it is, as it is the case now. Our view is that there should be no disestablishment. That municipality has been able to benefit a lot, Chair. We're going to provide you all the services that they got when they've merged with the municipality. They've got new roads. The sanitation that they are speaking about, it was in Section 11. It was addressed, that sanitation. We also brought Ehlanzeni District Municipality. It was addressed. However, the complaint is, when it was our municipality's Umjindi, it was only us who were competing locally. And I argued with them. I said, no, but when a tender is advertised, when they said, want a grade 6CE to construct the road, they don't say for only people of Umjindi. That's why I said, because now they've got a draft of to see whether their entity speaks to issues of your 30% local participation, but in relation to them being established, no, we don't agree. They have improved a lot in relation to since the amalgamation or before the amalgamation, they've benefited from things we had. So I the issue of 141 and 45 check across the board. And I remember they wrote a letter to our office. They were complaining that they are not told by the municipality when there's load shedding. And we've indicated that, look, they can't come to tell you, you must listen to the radio slots, because there were no formal meetings to communicate the issue of load shedding. And there have since been improvement to that effect. The municipality has got what we call a communication strategy to speak to the municipalities. We've got a radio station called Mjindi radio station, where they go and indicate if there will be some disturbance on service delivery. What 45 and what 41 are areas where they've been able to be helped. But Chair, we must indicate to this meeting that there are also politics involved to these issues. As the mayor has said, other individuals who never wanted the amalgamation for their reasons. What happened? They didn't disintegrate or disengage. They mobilized. If there's a matter that arises, they use that matter to mobilize, to try and mobilize the community. That's why when you come to explain to the community, the community said, oh, now we understand. Because when there's one problem, they said, yeah, it's because of the merger. When you come and explain, they said, no, now we understand. So there are also political issues that is playing themselves around there on political structures, want to win the hearts and the minds of the people by distorting other things that are not right in the mix. On the issues of grants, I'm sure the municipality is here and National Treasury is here in TCOC. I've said, I'm going to say it again. Because National Treasury is the one that is overlooking that municipality, there is some kind of resistance because they are not directly reporting to us. So we're going to urge this meeting, Chair, and yourself in particular, to talk to Minister Nkosazana, Man Nkosazana, and to talk to Minister Finance, Ubambowin, to bring back the powers to the province, because it is through legislation. It is legislated. We must be held accountable to this portfolio committee, yet in the actual terms, it is not us who deals with the municipality. As even the MM has indicated that when National Treasury comes to the municipality, we don't want National Treasury to come. We want as a province. The matter of finance of municipality is legislated through Municipal Systems Act and Finance Act, that it is COCTA that must deal with that. So it's our responsibility. The issue, I'm going to speak about this issue as I conclude. The issue of us saying we're going to speak to Troika about the matter of the non-responsiveness and non-cooperativeness of the speaker. It's very simple, Honorable Chair. If we don't get a response from the speaker, we go to Section 154 and 155, Schedule 6, and 139, 1A. Where we are now, before we must come in with the constitution, one first to speak to the Troika to bring some sense that when first provincial court write to you and give a number of days to respond, we expect you just to do that. I want to make a practical point in case here, Chair. You've got a certain councillor who is selling stamps to people taking 150,000, taking 60,000. It's known in the province. And when people write to us, they even attach the man where they stay. The law says that Section 106.1A, it says that when we receive such things, the MEC responsible must write to the mayor, or the HOT must write to the MM to get response. We have returned to the mayor. The mayor responded. The matter was referred to the speaker. We have not been receiving responses. So where it takes us now, it takes us direct to the constitution, because the constitution says, if a municipality is unable to run its own affairs, provincial government kicks in or comes in. We don't only intervene on Section 139 or 106 on the basis of finance. We intervene on an enabling municipality to perform its task. From where we sit, we cannot say on the basis that the speaker is not responsive. We therefore put a blanket approach to the entire municipality. We are going to convene a meeting with the constitution if we don't do 1, 2, 3. Because from where we are, Chair, the public protector also called us in a meeting and said, MEC, what is it that you're doing about this ex-councillor who has taken money for church? That councillor even take money for church goers. Agana and insisted, you go to a caller again. Bafundi Tandi, he take their 80,000 rand. And we went to public protector last week. We said, no, look, we've referred the matter to the municipality. Then they said to us, no, but you've got the constitution to apply if they don't respond. So we're on the and on the verge of applying the constitution, but please, we give the X days to act on this. If we don't act, we are coming in applying the legislation and the law. Thanks, Chair.
Then, Tony, I just get clarity before the other colleagues respond. Your own Jindi side, it includes your Barbaton and the other towns there. The former Umjindi was comprised of what? Barberton was
Barberton. The former Umjindi is Barberton.
Barberton, oh.
Yeah, okay. That area is a mining area. And the conclusion of the LET strategy, I know there was a mining summit and I was still there, but there's still no strategy that compels the mining owners to legislatively respond to the social labor plans. That's where we quickly want to go in together with economic development of the province, so that people of Mjindi must systematically benefit to those particular.
So Bushbuck Ridge, you never had problems because they've been demanding to be part of Mpumalanga since 1994. So they're not issues on the other side.
No.
And the title, no.
No, thanks.
Okay. Yes. Can we allow National Treasury to respond first on this issue of powers and functions? And why special attention on... also respond to the issues as the MEC was raising, the difficulty that these things create. And with regard to the issue of the... Before that, let me first allow the MM to talk on the issues of the withdrawal of the grants that you have lost. Can you expand it and sure. So that you understand what is it?
Sure. May you allow me to comment? Yeah, Chair, I agree with the MEC that there will be other engagement or the other matters raised. I would request that if the committee will allow us to compile that report that the MEC is talking about of service delivery so that we elaborate on all the aspects so that we're able to demonstrate the facts, then the committee will also be clarified.
Your problem, you were supposed to have done that report, you didn't do it. You're the only municipality that didn't submit a presentation to us. I don't know why.
Our apologies.
Yeah, because that report of yours was supposed to deal with these issues, the challenges and everything. That's what we wanted. The other municipalities have done that except yourself.
No, our apologies, Chair. I think it was communication breakdown because we've consolidated our report with that of COCTA, or we've submitted our report to COCTA to present one report on our behalf.
Okay.
So we're just asking your indulgence to make a further presentation on all the other matters that have arisen as a consequence of this meeting. The PTMG grant, Chair. We had a serious dispute because one of the...
PTMG, what is this? Can you say it in full? Public what?
Transport network grant. The one that the MM is saying we lost it now.
Yes.
Was continued now. It's a grant that was all the secondary cities which were part of the 2010 were included on that grant to improve the road infrastructure, more especially leading to the stadiums and everything. So this project, one of the conditions was that we must go for a pilot project of implementing like the Rea Vaya in all the other places. The phase that we have nominated to start the project, which was phase one, had a dispute between the taxi industry and the bus operators. And that had on and off for almost 2 years because we're almost on a stop and go, resolving this problem. Tomorrow it's another problem. We move one quarter, we implement. Up to a point where National Treasury said we have not fulfilled that obligation to implement the pilot and they're taking us out of that particular grant.
So it left because of your indecisiveness.
No, it was not indecisive. It was war, Honorable Chair. They were fighting physically, the taxi industry and the bus industry. They were not agreed. We ended up having to move the phase one implementation to another phase in the area of Banyamazan as an intervention to say, because this phase is not moving, we're deciding we're taking the entire project to the other phase. And by that time, we took that decision, the program, I think National has already decided to say want to take you out of the program, but we've made submission that they must get us back that program because most of the projects are still hanging and not finalized. The other one for water, Honorable Chair, it's a historic problem that the former Mbombela had in implementing projects under that grant. I can't remember exactly which financial year, I think it was before the amalgamation. So that historic problem led to the national deciding to remove us from that program. But we have since improved those challenges because with the challenges the honorable chair. So that is what led to the problems in the grant. But just on the placement process, chair, it was not an easy process between former Mbombela and former Umtchinzi because there was quite a number of disparities, more especially in the placement of staff, the salary disparities, and we had to try and get money to try and pay for the backlog. There was a lot of discrepancies. So maybe all the service delivery, we're just requesting that we present a report. Chairperson, thank you.
That one is noted as long as you do it within the next 7 days, ne? Mr. Kumalo, anything that you feel the mayor is omitting?
No, thanks, Chair. I think the mayor has covered me very well, except to say that on the issue of service delivery, we've since established a committee, which includes even the councillors from Ward 41 to 46, where the mayor has requested that we should, on a timely and regular basis, meet with the councillors in the southern region, where we look at all the service delivery issues, and we come up with time frames when it's going to be done by which time. And every time we meet, we start by reporting. I think our last meeting was somewhere last month, and we are meeting at the municipal offices in Jin. And I did raise my concern as well to the executive mayor that we are putting more. The support, everything seems to be heading one direction to Umtchinzi. And we're saying the other regions might say, but why is Umtchinzi giving so much attention? We've been giving Umtchinzi attention. We've been attending to all service delivery issues. On the issue of spillage, we've even appointed a company, QDS, that is looking at the issue of spillage. I think they're supposed to be finalizing the project around December, but we are looking into that. But the cutting of electricity, I think the MEC has covered me well. And also, I must also indicate that every time there's going to be a disruption in the electricity supply, we do communicate with our customers. We're using a number of platforms. And where there might have been disruption, it can only be where people have not paid their account. Because I must say this, Chair, that we use electricity. You know, for us to be able to implement our credit control, we rely mainly on the supply of electricity. Now, if you are unable to pay your rates, we serve you with an intention letter to say we will be limiting supply. That we do because part of our credit control. But on the other ones, I think if there is a need for us to improve, we will definitely have to improve. But we'll definitely improve on that. Though we do issue those intentions to disconnect letters to those that are affected. The other ones where it's going to be perhaps issue of maybe the supply from Eskom, we do communicate if there's going to be any disruptions. But there's always a room for us to improve. But suffice to say, Chairperson, that we are paying special attention to Umtchinzi, even on the fixing of potholes. You know, we do sit, we do take discussions, we agree when is what going to be done. And the meeting that I'm referring to, I'm talking about, it does take place almost in every quarter. We have a session with all the councillors from Umtchinzi. And I was even saying to myself that it's one thing that we seriously need to look at, you know, in terms of cascading it down to the other regions. But at this point in time, we are constantly meeting with Umtchinzi councillors. I think on the grants, the executive mayor covered me very well. Just to say, on the WSIG, we have been in discussions with the provincial head, Mr. Kuma, and all the issues that were there was done, and all the supporting documents that they requested provided to their provincial office around Mbombela. I think that's all that I can say for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Where is the chairperson?
Apologies, I forgot to unmute my microphone. I was saying, can we allow National Treasury to respond on the issues they've raised? I even called Wendy by name, not knowing that my microphone was muted. My apologies. National Treasury?
Thank you very much. With regard to the question why certain municipalities are monitored in terms of finances by National Treasury and provincial treasuries monitor in respect of the remainder of the municipalities, they've got to do with the size of their budgets. So the 17 largest budgets, or what we call non-delegated municipalities, and their budgets are administered directly by the National Treasury, and the remainder of the municipalities are then the oversight is done directly by the provincial treasuries. But having said that, in terms of the overall oversight is that National Treasury does liaise with the provincial treasury counterparts and vice versa, so that we've got a full grasp of the municipalities concerned. Then the issue raised in terms of legislation, that does not change the legislative mandate that's given in terms of oversight, in terms of the Municipal Systems Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act. So that is why the city of Mbombela is, you know, that it's a non-delegated municipality and the oversight of the budget is done by the National Treasury. Thank you very much.
Okay, Jacob. Can I do, are you still here?
I am, Chairperson. Okay. I think a response is probably required on the support to the municipality. And I just want to say that, Chair, that, you know, we look at this through the district development model initiative that we have in place in this regard and see how we look more closely in terms of the issues raised in the meeting by the province as well as the municipality. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. So it concludes our presentation with the Mpumalanga province, the department and the municipality. Can we then move to the next one? The next one was supposed to be Limpopo. Are you ready? Is the MEC here or not yet?
Not yet, Chairperson.
Then we're skipping you to Eastern Cape. HOD?
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. My name is Andile Fani, HOD, Cocta, Eastern Cape. I would like Honourable MEC to give a charity to put a presentation for the meeting, if you allow me to do that.
The MEC?
No, the Charity CC will put the presentation for the province, and okay. She's going to present the Honourable Chair.
Right. MEC MCV, you are excused with the team. Pumalanga, you are done. You can leave, eh?
Thank you so much, Mama.
Okay. Sure. Who's loading the presentation?
I would like you to load the presentation, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. May I check, Honorable Chairperson, as to whether the presentation is visible on your side?
With me, not yet. Can I check with the others?
No, Chair. We only see her name.
Is it there now, ma'am?
Not yet.
Nope. Eastern Cape with technology, Chair.
That breath says it all, Chair.
Chairperson, I can share the presentation from my side.
Okay.
Can you ask somebody to load from their side?
Oh, you want us to pass you?
No, Chairperson.
And get the other team that's ready?
No, we are ready, Chairperson. I thought the administrator is saying he's going to assist and look at that side. I was trying to load it from my side, Chairperson, but it doesn't want to go on.
Yeah, Sherry said she's assisting.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
Finally.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Charity Sehun. I'll be presenting on behalf of the department, Chairperson. But in doing so, looking at the time, Chairperson, I will just focus on key major slides in the presentation. Can we move? Chairperson, in designing or in making a presentation outline, we followed the brief that was given to us by the National Office, by the Parliamentary Committee members. And in terms of the structure of the presentation, we've looked at the legal provisions that were there and the public participation processes, which most of that section was covered by a national DECOG. We are looking at the implications of the measures. In some cases, two municipalities were disestablished to form one. In other cases, three municipalities were disestablished to form one entity. And in total, in the province, there were 10 municipalities that were disestablished to form four entities. Then we're looking at the municipal demarcation grant. And then in Section B, we are giving a view to the committee on the status of the financial viability pre and post the mergers. We then do an analysis of the current performance of the new entities, but not in detail because municipalities are here. They'll be presenting also on the current status quo. Then we felt, Honorable Chairperson, that we need to highlight the challenges that are confronted by all these municipalities, the new entities, cutting across all of them. You can move. We can move to the next slide. Yes. Chairperson, without getting into detail, this is what DECOG presented in their presentation. It's basically giving a background and in terms of the measures, the application that was made by the minister and also the question, the fact that there were six non-viable municipalities in the province that were identified, they were to be merged with a what we fairly saw as viable municipalities, because those that were merged with were performing fairly well in respect of their financial management issues. You can move to the next slide. Here in this slide, Chairperson, we're giving a reflection of what led to the establishment of Walter Sisulu, Raymond Mhlaba, Enoch Mgijima, and Dr. Beyers Nodier. We're giving a reflection of what was this established, or the two entities that were merged to form one. In the case of Walter Sisulu, Honorable Chairperson, we would like to indicate to the committee that Gariep was one municipality that at the time was we can say was not financially viable, one of the most municipalities that was kind of experiencing financial troubles. It was merged with Imali Tswai, but also at the time of the merger, even Imali Tswai was starting to be a municipality experiencing financial challenges. In as far as Eskom is concerned, there were lots of there was a debt of Eskom. So the two entities basically were adding one and one, and we couldn't form two. So hence we heard that Walter Sisulu is having such financial challenges. More so, Honorable Chairperson, Gariep is a municipality that has got a low revenue base, a high rate of indigent households, and therefore it is solely depending on Marie-Claire. Okay.
It's looking for it.
Sorry, Charity. Let me check who's this person who's disrupting you.
Okay, ma'am.
Tell me. Yeah, I know you are being disrupted.
Okay,
can I plead with you again? Whenever you want to do stuff, can you then mute your microphones and do your other stuff while your microphones are muted? Because we're even hearing your personal conversation here, and it doesn't augur good because you're also disrupting the speaker. Please, proceed, Charity.
Thanks, ma'am. In respect of Raymond Mhlaba, we are making that indication that Inxuba was merged with Inkonkobe. We are making a reflection so that the committee could see that Inxuba was a municipality that was a grade two. At that point in time, it was struggling. Just before the merger, Honorable Chairperson, that municipality couldn't even make the annual financial statements. It didn't have funds to do that. And the way it was also a municipality that is mainly having farm areas, low revenue base, high rate of indigent household, and therefore it was just financially not viable. It was at a state of dying as a municipality. And then it was then merged to Inkonkobe. So Raymond Mhlaba inherited that type of a municipality. Then the third reflection, Honorable Chairperson, is on the merger of three entity or municipalities, Tsolwana, Inkwanga, Lukanje. In terms of the background, Chairperson, the two, Tsolwana and Inkwanga, also were kind of experiencing difficulties in respect of their finances, their financial management, low revenue again. So Inkwanga was a municipality that was just coming out of a Section 139(1C), Honorable Chairperson, in the previous year, that is towards the end of 2014. Its council was dissolved, and we had in November 2014, we had to step elect a new council. So it was, when the proposal was coming in, it was fairly a new council, and it had to look at or attend to matters related to financial availability. And at the beginning of the new entity, when Enoch Mgijima was established, Honorable Chairperson, it had to carry over the liabilities of the two entities, and immediately within Honorable Chairperson, 3 months when the new entity was established, the reserves that the SY Lukanje had to the tune of over 120 million had to be utilized for the benefit of attending to matters that were inherited from the SY municipalities. Then coming to Dr. Beyers Nodier, Honorable Chairperson, we are making that reflection of where the two that municipality is coming from, as it was indicated earlier on by even Honorable Member Mbumza, Ikwezi was basically a dead municipality, Honorable Chairperson. There was a stage where it couldn't even pay the salaries, and the district and the province had to come to rescue. So basically, there was no municipality in respect of the financial matters. And one thing that we can highlight also, Honorable Chairperson, at this stage is that just before the merger, although there were legal provisions that were put in place in preparation for the merger in terms of your Section 14.5 notice, where the MEC indicated that there should be moratorium in respect of appointments, moratorium in respect of disposal of assets. There were municipal assets that were disposed of, were sold by the municipality to limited value of amount, and as a result, the new entity, Dr. Beyers Nodier, over and above other debt and many other things, had to inherit that problem. And as an institution, Dr. Beyers Nodier, immediately after its establishment, it had to fight litigations that were coming, litigations and many other litigations, matters, claims and so on, that were coming from especially Ikwezi claiming the municipality. So Dr. Beyers Nodier, from the very word go on its onset, it had to had to fight such things because it was being ripped here up and under due to the challenges or due to contracts that were not honored by the previous municipality. We can move on to the... I just wanted to give that background, Honorable Chairperson, so that you get a sense of the state of the new entities. This, Chairperson, I won't dwell much on this... on these slides. They're basically more or less similar to the Municipal Demarcation Board and National COCTA to give a sense when we said let's highlight on public participation processes that happened. We are highlighting here all the legal provisions that were there, the public participation, consultations with the people, and also in terms of the second bullet down, that we are saying a public meeting involving merger of Bavians. You would recall that communities or Ibavians kind of interdicted the processes of the merger. It was elected by Dr. Naidu, and as a result, the merger of Ibavians, Ikwezi, and Kamtepo was a court case, which was won later on, and then the merger of that entity or all other processes followed later as compared to the initial or to other entities. We can move. I'm just giving a summary, talking to the slide, Honorable Chairperson. Again, here, this was reflected, Honorable Chairperson, by e-Demarcation Board and also EU National COCTA. But we're basically saying all the processes that needed to be a preamble towards e-merger were followed to the latter, were even highlighting the circulars that were talking to public participation matters. We can go on. Chairperson, these are specifics in terms of the dates of all the things. We can skip this slide, Administrator. Chairperson, in terms of this slide, we are saying here there were far-reaching cost implications in respect of establishing new entities. We are highlighting here that there were legal matters that had to be looked at. There were human resource matters that had to be looked at. There were finance matters that had to be looked at, technical matters. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to indicate, for example, here, at the time when the merger was about to happen in 2016, a National Treasury had introduced a financial reporting system called MSCOA, and some of the municipalities had not yet embarked on the MSCOA. They had not procured the system that would make them to report according to MSCOA. In the province, there were two pilot sites in the Walter Sisulu area and also in the Dr. Beyers Nodier area, where municipalities were starting to, it's Maletswai, it was starting to be piloted, or there were pilots done by National Treasury in respect of the MSCOA. So at the time of the merger, there were such, the municipalities were confronted with such reporting or financial reporting systems that were new, that they were still grappling with, that they still had to procure these systems. And the very municipalities, Honorable Chairperson, were making use of different financial reporting service providers. So there was a lot that the new entities had to look at, had to grapple with. On contractual obligations, the various entities had their own contractual obligations that had to be a liability to the new entity. The question of many issues related to human resource. For example, if we were to look at Ilukanji, Honorable Chairperson, there were pre-amalgamation agreements in respect of the employees that were there. Some of them that way there was an agreement to absorb them, and some of them there were certain monies that were owed to employees. So all of those matters, whilst we municipalities were grappling with their own internal problems, those things had to be brought forward to the change management committees, which Dr. Naidi talked of, that way formations or structures that were there to handle matters of amalgamation. One thing, Honorable Chairperson, that I can highlight here, the absence of a project manager or a change management, a manager to handle all the matters of the merger in the province, made it difficult to get a real sense of what was happening in the municipalities. There was a tendency of municipalities in the work streams and also in the change management meetings not divulging or being upfront and being honest on their internal matters. We wouldn't be in a proper position to know exactly their staff establishment, what their organogram was, and as a result, there was some kind of I don't want to misuse Honorable Chairperson of words like mischievous, but there were some things, naughty things that were happening, some municipalities absorbing employees in preparation that people could be safe when the new entity comes in. So those are the realities that we're confronted with as a province. And those were the issues that we had to look at. Can we move to the next slide? Chairperson, I'll just talk briefly on this slide. Oh, MDP and also Dr. Naidi did make a reflection, and also National Treasurer did make a reflection of the transitional grant that was there. I just want to go to the third bullet, Honorable Chairperson, the value of the transitional grant for Eastern Cape municipalities. We are making a reflection there that Dr. Beyersnodi was allocated that amount, because for every entity that was made up of three municipalities, the allocation was like that for all municipalities in the country. Now, there was in respect of this money, Honorable Chairperson, there was a principle that was saying we are going to give the municipalities this money in line with a 40-60 ratio, where 40% of that amount, meaning, for instance, if you're looking at it, Dr. Beyers not here, 40% of that was going to be given to the SY entities, and the 60% remaining amount of the 20 million was to be given to the new entity. For some municipalities, like for instance for Ikwezi and Bavians, we as a province proposed strongly and we accepted to say those municipalities that we could see that they were struggling financially, that 40% should not be given to them, because we could see that the money would be utilized for other non-intended purposes, though it was meant to be used for transitional arrangements, but we could sense, or because they were struggling, that the money, once it gets into their banks, they will use it for other non-intended purposes. So if you look at those amounts of monies, Honorable Chairperson, and the scope of work that had to be attended or addressed by that money was not even, I couldn't even say it's a drop in a cup in terms of looking, you could see the financial systems, if you were to merge the financial, how much it would cost. You've seen the grades of the municipalities, the whole question of placement, whole question of new job descriptions, new organogram. So that amount of money from the very get-go, Honorable Chairperson, couldn't afford to look at all those issues. The reality is, Honorable Chairperson, was that there were other things that were not going to be catered for by that transitional grant. Let me just give you one example, Chairperson. If you look at Inokam Kejima, the new municipal council could not afford the number of the new entity, 68 councillors, and the council of that municipality couldn't be able to accommodate that number. So there were other things that were not looked at whilst we were looking at the question of Imeja. So Inokam Kejima had to now look at the question of a new council chamber that had to allocate this, and the transitional grant was not meant for such a space for new people. If the city of the municipality is going to be Komani, the erstwhile Queenstown is going to be Komani, then it means the offices in Komani, which used to be offices of Lukanji, would now have to cater all these for the new entity. The same applies, Honorable Chairperson, to, I'm just making an example if I'm talking to Mkijima, the same would apply to Beas Nodier, to Raymond Shaba, to Walter Sisulu, and other costs that were coming with the merger were not catered for. Now you would think that's why we ended up, if you look at Inokam Kejima, you look at Ilukanji, Ilukanji had to spend from the very go its reserves to accommodate those issues that were not covered for by the transitional grant. Of course, Honorable Chairperson, in some municipalities there was slow pace of expenditure in respect of these monies that were allocated to them for the transitional measure or all the processes of a transitional matter. And as a result, some municipalities had to lose. And we know in terms of the policies, how treasury grants operate, because if you don't use it and you can't show a valid reason as to why, the money will return to the coffers of the National Treasury. So those are the experiences that we encountered as a province in respect of the entities. Can we move? We are in these slides, I think there are about four, Honorable Chairperson and members. We are giving some kind of a snapshot for you to just have a glimpse of a feel on what was the status quo, or what was the debt that was inherited coming from these local municipalities. Honorable Chairperson, I won't read municipality by municipality because the presentation, I assume, is with you, but you can get a sense of the state of affairs in respect of ESCOM, because ESCOM is the major problem that is confronting these municipalities. But Honorable Chairperson, I just want you to and the members to look at Ilukanji and to look at Inkwanga and look at Itsolwana. If you look at these municipalities in terms of their debt of ESCOM pre-emerger, these municipalities were not owing much. But you will see when we look at the next slide at the ESCOM debt for the current Inokam Kejima, that things started to fall apart post the amalgamation process. But for other municipalities, your Walter Sisulu, you can see the debt that was there prior to the merger of ESCOM. You can see at Raymond Shaba how much was owed by Inuba, as compared to Inkonkobe. Inkonkobe is Raymond Mhlaba is a merger of Inkonkobe and Nguba. So you can understand that Raymond Mhlaba inherited so much debt from the Eswai Nguba. Hence I was saying Nguba was in a kind of a state of collapse. And we can move to the next slide. We are giving a reflection, Honorable Chairperson and members, as we are speaking today of the debt that these new entities are having for ESCOM. Your Inokam Kejima is owing 433 million, that amount of money. Won't say it. Your Walter Sisulu, it's that amount of money. Your Raymond Mhlaba, your Dr. Beyers Nodie, as you would recall, I indicated for Walter Sisulu that both Igarip and Maletswai, and they are, at the time of the merger, were owing such huge amounts. If you're looking at the size of the municipalities at the time, they were owing huge amounts. This is the status quo, Honorable Chairperson, of these municipalities, and Eskom is really not giving a space these municipalities to breathe. They are starting in some municipalities their purchase processes and everything else. We can move. Again, Honorable Chairperson, the earlier on slide is just giving a reflection of the debt that was owed by the SOL municipalities to AG. The major one is Ngubaya Temba and Bavians. And you can understand the plight now of the new entities, your Raymond Shaba and also your Dr. Beyers Nodie. We can move, Honorable Chairperson. This is the debt towards UAG as we are speaking. As at end of October 2020, you can move. Can move, sir, ma'am. These are it's the revenue collection levels as at year end of June 2020. I'm not going to talk to it, Honorable Chairperson, but suffice to say, out of the four entities, Dr. Beyers Nodie is a water service authority. So it has got so much to look at in respect of water provision. This is a summary of the audit outcomes of the new entities, Honorable Chairperson. They are not good. We had an unqualified audit opinion the previous year for Raymond Shaba. It's one municipality that has been performing fairly better compared to others in respect of audit outcome. But in 2017-18, but in 18-19, it has regressed. It's a qualified audit opinion. The rest of the three other municipalities were disclaimers since the establishment. And then Inokam Kichima has just moved to adverse, which is more or less similar to a disclaimer. It's a disclaimer opinion for those entities. But mayors are here. In their presentation, they perhaps might outline what the reasons thereof are. You can move. This section, Honorable Chairperson and members, is basically giving a reflection to the committee on the state of affairs in respect to governance issues, briefly on any financial issues, and also to infrastructure development. The municipalities, I won't talk much, Honorable Chairperson, but suffice to say, in terms of governance issues, the municipalities are having all the governance structures in place. They've, in terms of the management appointment of senior managers, they've got that in place, except for Inokam Kijima, that has where UCFO has resigned and it's in the process of appointing a new chief financial officer. But in respect of other entities, the councils are stable. They are sitting, their committees. It's one thing, Honorable Chairperson, to say the councils are we want to say the councils are there, the structures are there. But for other committees, the question of functionality, it's something else that we cannot proudly say they are more functional, because we are avoiding a situation where we say, if we see that they are sitting and then we say they are functional, because one would have a question to say, if, for example, the impacts of these municipalities are functional, then how do we justify their functionality when one sees the increase in the irregular expenditure? What is the Municipal Public Accounts Committee doing in respect of that? Hence, we are saying they have been established and they are meeting. Functionality would be something else. But in terms of structures, governance structures, they are there in these municipalities, and we are making a reflection in all those lights, Honorable Chairperson, that are talking to governance issues of the structures, the audit committee or internal audit, and the presence of the management. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, we can pass these lights on governance because they are fairly the same. Chairperson, on Inokam Kijima, it's the one that I would like to years. On Inekwem Gijima, Honorable Chairperson, I need to indicate that the municipality is currently under Section 1391 and Section 1395 intervention. The municipality, as I indicated earlier on, is experiencing so much financial difficulties, is troubled financially. As you can see, it's owing more than 400,000 to Eskom. And at a point in time, the service delivery vehicles of the municipality were auctioned because the municipality was owing a service provider, and that is coming from an inherent debt that they had from one of the municipalities in Gwanga. So there was that, which Honorable Chairperson, perhaps members have seen in the papers, that led to the intervention, and which intervention had some weaknesses because the municipality could not implement the financial recovery plan. And as a result, beginning of this financial year, the provincial government felt that they should again intervene in the municipality and ensure that the financial recovery plan is implemented. Provincial Treasury, National Treasury, COCTA, SALGA, and other stakeholders, we on monthly basis, we monitor the implementation of that financial recovery plan at Inokom Kijima. Thus far, Honorable Chairperson, it has not yet yielded results that we want, but in terms of stability, the municipality is stable. We are focusing on ensuring that the financial recovery plan yields results, and the municipality is in a position to address or to honor its financial obligations, though it's very difficult. There's a court case, Honorable Chairperson. Let's Talk Komani as a group took the municipality court and requesting that the municipality should be dissolved, the council should be dissolved because it can't execute its executive obligations. But the province defended that, and as a result, the province is supporting the municipality in terms of ensuring that we bring the finances into stability. Again, Honorable Chairperson, it's talking to Bayas Nodie on the financial issues. I won't talk much, Honorable Chairperson, in respect of this, because I've indicated earlier on the plight of it, Bayas Nodie, in terms of it inheriting those liabilities. At the point in time, Honorable Chairperson, in 2016 and beginning of 2017, the council and management of that municipality could not sleep. It was ripped up and down. There were service providers that were claiming the municipality, coming to say, we have this contract that was not honored by EQUESI, the SOL municipality. So they had to attend to those matters of litigations, taken to court, every service provider coming, saying we are being owed. So the beginning years, the early years of the entity, they couldn't even focus on service delivery matters. They had to look at those litigation matters. And as a result, it's struggling. It's basically struggling. That's a reflection. The mayor is here, Honorable Chairperson, might dwell much on that. We can move. Yeah, we can move. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson. Okay, you can stop here. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson, are talking to the infrastructure project or development that is happening in these municipalities. We are making a reflection on the projects that are there, especially we've decided in this case, Honorable Chairperson, to elevate Ibeas Nodie and Inokom Kijima, the infrastructure projects that are there, the grant allocations that are there. And I'm happy, Honorable Chairperson, that the colleague from Treasury earlier on made an indication of what the grant system and the formula is talking to. So where there were three municipalities each had to have a baseline of 5 million per financial year, that had to stop, and the baseline was 5 million in respect of certain grants. So the municipalities are inherited, and you can recall, Honorable Chairperson, the erstwhile municipalities had multi-year projects that were in the pipeline. And now when the new entity comes in and a limitation in respect of the grant, the municipalities had to look and reprioritize in terms of the projects. And those projects were projects that were meant to deliver services to the community. Now they had a handicap of attending to all those projects that were there, multi-projects or projects that were identified for the outer years in the two communities. So they had to look and weigh and prioritize, and they had to, the new councils had to address the communities in terms of giving them a rationale as to why certain projects had now to be discontinued or not to be embarked upon, and also they're giving the limitation in respect of the allocations that were there and the new financial challenges that they had to attend to from the SYL entities. We can move. It's basically, Honorable Chairperson, all these slides are giving a reflection of the projects that are there, both in Okamkejima and Walter Sisulu. Chairperson, the last section that I would like to indicate here is the question of the challenges that are currently experienced. These challenges, Honorable Chairperson, cut across probably the MSC did indicate in the earlier meeting that was there, but these challenges are basically challenges that are experienced by all these new entities. Your inherited debt from Eskom and other creditors made the new councils not to focus on service delivery, but to look at this, and they are haunted with these challenges of creditors and debt. Then these debts are a recipe, Honorable Chairperson, of imminent collapse of these municipalities. Your litigation, Honorable Chairperson, over contracts that were not honored. Just to give you an example, Honorable Chairperson, if you talk of Walter Sisulu, at the time of its establishment, Harib as a municipality was owing your pension fund over 26 million rands. That was not handed over. And Walter Sisulu inherited that kind of situation where it has to look, or it has to at some point to negotiate with people that are going to go to pension just to hang on, because there were no finances. The Honorable Mayor would perhaps talk to this as to how are they addressing that particular problem. The envisaged increase in staff costs as a result of imminent rationalization of salaries and allowances is going to take a toll on the budget of the new entities. For example, some municipalities, Honorable Chairperson, example, Walter Sisulu, their salary bill, it can't even the equitable share can't even cover the whole of EEE salary bill and other operational issues. And of course, it's a known fact that the municipality must generate its own revenue to cover some of its operational costs. But in a case where the municipality doesn't have that revenue base, it becomes a problem. You would see that the books of the municipality, it will take years for it to be correct. Can we move to the next slide? Yes, we are talking. Can we move? Yes, Dala is. Yes. Inadequate funding, Chairperson, that was there for relocation costs. If you look at it, Dr. Bayer's note here, Chairperson, it's one of the largest municipalities in the province. It's probably I think it's the second largest municipality. It's vast in terms of vastness. It's very vast, and it's farm area. It doesn't have the revenue. And unfortunately, the model for funding these municipalities is not talking to the real service delivery issues on the ground. The model is talking to numbers, and in terms of servicing the people, the situation is not like that. So it's a problem. And as a result, if a councillor has to service the communities, there's a lot of financial implication in respect of that. The existing differences that were there, if you look at the initial slide, I when I was talking of the SYL entities, you'd see that there's a two, there's a two, there's there's a four, there's a two, there's a two, there's a three. And if you're doing the whole rationalization of it becomes a problem, because employees would, and they're experiencing challenges where employees would not even want this job evaluation issue. They were saying, I'm a sweeper in Pavians is the same sweeper in Kamdipo or in Graaf Reinet, so we need to be having the similar. So there are lots of labor issues that are involved. I've talked to insufficient space, Honorable Chairperson, and the transitional grant that was not talking to that, that was not accommodating that. We have to be honest and realistic, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of inadequate support from the national, provincial, and also at district level to support the municipalities in ensuring that other functions, Honorable Chairperson, to be honest, they are supposed to be supported by sector departments, but some sector departments don't come in and municipalities are confronted. If, for example, you look at your Department of Environmental Affairs that needs to assist some of the new entities in respect of accreditation of refuse sites and other waste management things, they are not coming on board, and municipalities have to struggle on their own in respect of that. And they are found wanting by the Auditor General in some of the areas where the sector departments need to come in and support those municipalities. We have talked, Honorable Chairperson, to a low revenue base, make an example of Mkijima that has to inherit a low revenue based municipalities and the new entity as a result can move. We can go to the next slide. The increase, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the indigent register versus the equitable share that is not coping. Shortage of machinery that has to cover now. If, for example, you had a good machinery that is in a good state in Graaf Reinet, that then Kamdipo, now it has to service areas that go far, stretch as far as State Laville, State, all those places that are far in Pavians, and now they are worn out. It's a problem. It's a challenge because some of these entities, as well, were not having proper machinery, and service delivery has to be done. We are saying here, the new established municipalities post the demarcation process became even poorer, Honorable Chairperson and members, as there were reductions in grants as compared to what was reflected in the DORA in the earlier years for the outer years. We're talking to your MIG allocation, your equitable share, your electricity grant, and many other grants. We can move. As lastly, Honorable Chairperson, as a province, we are requesting that the committee accept the report. And in view of the fact that, Honorable Chairperson, I've heard what was said earlier on by the earlier speakers, but we are saying in view of the fact that there are local government elections and already in the province, we are confronted with some communities making already their proposals in respect of the outer boundary, redetermination of the outer boundary. And we know, I'm not sure, we know that the board will open up if the law has not yet changed. It's still saying that needs to be done after 5 years. We'll open up a period for new proposal of outer boundary redetermination. We are saying, therefore, there should be a well-thought proposal that must be submitted by a department on the boundaries of municipalities as we are looking at the current state of affairs. We are mentioning these municipalities that there are also other challenges in other municipalities with a view to correct some distorted arrangements and errors that have been made in the past. And that redetermination of boundaries will be informed by some scientific research that the department will be undertaking in terms of currently analyzing the proper status of a core of the amalgamated or the new entities and what would be best moving forward in respect of the province. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Charity. What position do you hold in the department, Charity, if I may ask?
I'm a director, Honorable Chairperson. Director for municipal administration. For municipal administration, Chairperson.
Director for municipal administration.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you so much, Charity. Okay. The where we are. The municipalities in the Eastern Cape did not send any presentation. I hope it's going to be like the situation of Mbombela. So it means then, members, you'll have to deal with issues as raised. The beauty about it is a portfolio committee where it since interacted with Dr. Boyas Nodin. Their issues are not new to us. Then it means then the focus can be also on Enoch Mgijima, Walter Sisulu, and Raymond Mutlama, and any other than amalgamation matters that you can still raise with Dr. Boyas Nodin. So the difficulty is that then when the municipalities have not then submitted their presentation, we have got difficulty despite us having sent the correspondence. I don't know what happened, but the individual mayors will have to then explain to us as and when questions are asked to them as to why didn't you then present your own municipal presentation, because then we wanted to also understand, despite all this as raised by the province, in terms of your service delivery challenges, is there no resistance, like you've heard from Mbombela, and that there are others that are said who were better served while we know all the municipality and all these other issues that comes to play. And let me allow the members who want to interact with the presentation from the Eastern Cape. Colleagues?
Chairperson, I don't have a hand.
What?
I don't have a place for my hand here, it's the fourth.
But you didn't submit a presentation, man. How do you raise your hand whereas you didn't submit a presentation? You just want to come here and talk.
No, we covered. I'm covered by the presentation of the province.
You'll answer questions. In future, don't do that. When we say present, make presentation, you must do that. Let me allow the members to ask questions in relation to the provincial presentation. Colleagues?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Mukaliti. Followed by who?
Who is Pooms? And Pooms are supposed to lead us. This is province.
Because he keeps on telling us about Enoch Mgijima. They are here today. He's quiet.
Yeah, he must lead us. It is province and a former Salga colleague. So he will be our striker.
I know, Hadewe. Hadewe, I've noted you. Is it the only two of you? For now. Mpumza went into same space. We don't know. We'll hear. Matlo, are you covered?
Yes, my chairperson. For now, I'm covered.
Yeah, for now, you're covered. So let's deal with these two. Honorable Mkalibi.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the presentation. It was very clear. Pick up to Mbogodo.
Yes.
And I must also apologize and take my words that I said before, that Eastern Cape and IT is water and oil. So I want to take it back. She was very
good. She represented you so well. That's what I could see. That's why I even asked the chair to say, what portfolio do you hold in the department? You heard me saying that.
Yes.
Proceed.
I just wanted to get from Mbogodo when she was presenting on the slides that spoke about human resource. And I'm interested because there is a section that you speak about councillors. So what happened when a merger has to take place and there was a mayor and a speaker in that arrangement? What happened? Because I saw that you put something of councillors. And I believe that maybe those mergers are happening during the term. And those councillors, they're supposed to become members of that municipality that has been emerged with. the mayor and the speaker, those executive portfolios, what happened to them. And also what I have noticed on the presentation, especially on the challenges, it is very sad, Chair, when she shared with us, even the litigation is following them now because of what happened previously, when the merger, before the merger and the post-mergers. So it seems as if it's not helping at all in terms of their experience. And I'm very happy that you mentioned that Dr. Beyersno Dhea, because also when she was making most of the examples, she was using Beyersno Dhea. And Beyersno Dhea, I have also questions in terms of what is presented here by Imbokoto, to say that Nami, I have so many complaints. He will remember the chairperson of the demarcation board. I even called him personally to say that people are complaining there in Beyersno Dhea. Currently, I don't know if the province will share with us. Currently, there is two wards that are being not clear in terms of people, which one is belonging to what 8, which people are belonging to what 9. As a result, they don't have any information. I don't know what is the role of the province to go and explain to people who know, since the new demarcation, what 8 is here and what 9 is here. I even said to the chair, and he referred me to somebody who was trying to help in terms of getting maps, but people got confused after they got that map. That is the one issue. And the second issue that is not related to the presentation, Chair, is about Dr. Beyersno Dhea as well. There's a lot of racism cases that are reported in that municipality. I just want to hear from the province. I don't know if the MEC is here, but the leadership of the province must also try to clarify with us. Do they know about the cases that are reported to around that municipality, which is very high? And I also witnessed that, Chair, one of my when I was visiting the Kakatu area, which Dr. Beyersno Dhea is under Kakatu, I was experiencing the thing of racism there. So I was thinking that if people are complaining on daily basis about this issue, I'm sure they must be addressed at a political level, also at a departmental level, to work with policies, South African police around that issue. Those are my questions, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhaliti. Honorable Adam.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. You will bear with me if there's a noise on the background. I had to move to a suitable place where I can have a proper connectivity. So I wouldn't be able to switch on my camera, Chair. I think at some point I wanted to... Come again?
Does it really happen in the mother city?
Yes, Chair.
Oh.
And there are issues with Vodacom. Some of the towers are not fully functional. They are undergoing repairs. Not everything is gloom and doom, though. Can I proceed, Honorable Chair?
Yes, you can proceed.
No, I wanted to say thank you so much. The presentation was detailed and spot on. At some point, I wanted to clap hands for the presenter, but I realized that I might be kicked out of the meeting. So thank you so much, ma'am. You know
yes,
your story.
Yes, I was going to do that.
Yes, you know your story and keep up the great work. One felt you concur with our long-held view in terms of dysfunctionality, in terms of amalgamation of these municipalities. But what I want to get clarity on is in relation to what we have raised, that at some point these municipalities could not function because of claims and litigation from companies claiming that they were owed money. How did you dealt with that matter? Have you been able to find out or ascertain that indeed those that were coming up front to claim for monies owed to municipalities, indeed those claims were accurate, and have you settled those claims? But what concerned me with what you have said is that in terms of administrative and executive authority, there are officials and you have councillors that are having separate roles and responsibilities. Now, when you said municipality could not function, what then becomes the role of council? Because issues of administration are that of the municipal officials. I understand the fact that over and above that, they are the ones also to execute all the plans, budget, and IPP of the municipalities. But I don't think the municipalities would come to a standstill solely because of issues that solely rest on the shoulders of administrators. One also would like to get an understanding, Honorable Chair. We are familiar now with the issues as presented, and it gave us a clear picture and confirmed what we've been raising all along. But one would want to get a sense that even though, despite these challenges, are councillors equal to the task to turn around the situation? Let us leave aside the challenges now, and for a while, let us not complain, but seek to get a sense or an understanding whether or not within a five-year term, those that are elected in terms of council and executive structures, what contribution are they making to turn around the situation? We understand, Chair, that it's unattainable to put one and one together with the expectation that you will get 2 years, it will become 11. But one wants to find out and ascertain that in future, what should be the specific and dedicated role when we merge municipality, that of municipal councillors. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adev. You check on the audit outcomes of all these merged entities as she was presenting. It's a worrying fact. Yeah? Who's Ronine? Can Ronine mute his mic? It's very disruptive. It's worrisome. We've dealt in particular with Enokumuki, Brave Node, where the AG came and make an analysis of the audit outcomes for that municipality. Then I should think HOD, funny. He must be honest with us here at that level. I think this is what the HOD, Minister, the MEC was going to tell us. In your own assessment, has this administration yielded the intended purposes? Was it really a good political decision to take or not? That's the issue that one is trying to raise. Because then, also on the allocation as it has been given, it's like National Treasury, I want you to comment on this one. These are the issues that also the demarcation board has raised earlier with regard to this special allocation that you need to give. It's like National Treasury just went and say, if it's three municipalities, we're giving them 20 million. If there are two, we're giving them 13 million. That's what has happened in terms of the figures. Then she comes here, Charity comes here and tell us, say, with Enoch Mugijima with that 20 million, because of the size of the previous three municipalities, they couldn't have a council, a facility that could accommodate them to hold a council meeting. It means then, in actual fact, then Enoch Mugijima had to then build a new council chamber. And with that allocation given to them, it means they will only just build a council chamber and the grant gets exhausted. Then I want also know from each individual municipality, all four of them, with regard to their HR issues, I want Dr. Beyers Nodi, Walter Sisulu, Inoko Mugijima, and Raymond Mukaba to tell us what has been their experience with the placement of staff. In particular, Dr. Beyers Nodi and Inoko Mugijima from the three former municipalities, and then Raymond Mukaba, it will be from the two former municipalities. And how long did this process take? So these are the issues that one want to raise also to say. Then can also then Treasury come to the picture? Apart from the 20 million that has been granted, that failed to also deal with the issue of the development dispensation for this, because all these municipalities are underdeveloped. It was just that you then you merge, then you leave, or is this funding continuous, ongoing? Or you gave it to them, that was once off, then they are on their own with the challenges that they are having. We are talking about this because then what effort is this are you then putting in place as National Treasury to make sure that these municipalities becomes viable and they are supported? Because for us, we should think that there could have been a special dispensation that has been provided. Then coming to DCOG now, because your response from the other ones, you've been saying the DDM is going to resolve this. You know now that you know the challenges in these four municipalities. What is it that you are saying if you are to tell me that the district development model is going to resolve the issues? Actually, what is it that you are going to do to make sure that these municipalities are attended to? Then with regard to them, with the exception of Beyers Nodi, Walter Sisulu, Inoko Mugijima, and Raymond Mukaba, you need to tell us how are you going to, or how are you addressing all the issues as raised by the AG as well? Because there are issues that the AG seriously raised. And then this issue that a charity has raised about the various litigation, are they still ongoing from those people who will be coming to claim that they were owed by the disestablished municipality? And then at what cost was that those litigation, maybe if one is to understand, to see at the time the claims against Inoko Mugijima from the previous three municipalities were this much. And then I'm trying to understand then where do you get the funding from? Because given the money that you were given just for establishment, that money wouldn't cater whatever liabilities this other former institution were having. So those are some of the issues that we felt we need to ask and find out from you. And all of you, then you must tell us when the COCTA is saying that it's working, even yourselves as the municipalities, you must tell us whether this intervention has made it possible for you to deliver in terms of Section 152 of the Constitution. Are you able to do that now that you have been expanded, you have been merged? So those are the issues that I need to get. You'll raise your hand on the raise hand platform. And then for those of you who have never interacted with us, I know I can see Councillor DeForest respond on your BS Naidu matters. Then you do that BS Naidu matters. But let's deal with that. Can I first allow National Treasury and then DCOG, then the provincial COCTA will respond, and then the specific municipalities, I'll call you by names so that you respond to the issues that relate to you. National Treasury, over to you.
allocated. It was allocated for, and then the thereafter, to the amalgamation. What is quite important to note there is it was not supposed to be a continual allocation. It was supposed just to be a transitional allocation for 3 years. So what is important is that, no, this is not going to be a response that most municipalities will appreciate, we all, and that includes the municipalities, need to live within the allocations that's at your disposal, and then right-size your municipalities to live within your allocations. And that means it will require municipalities to relook at their budgets, look at their staff establishment, and live within the available resources. And it's not just applicable to municipalities. The same will apply to provinces, and the same will apply to national departments. And for example, just to give an example on the provincial side, some provinces, particularly the more rural municipalities, their population growth are not as fast as the more urban provinces. So the provincial equitable share allocations do not grow at the same speed, for example, than what will happen to provinces that's got, fast population growth. And some of the provinces, what they've done in this regard is that they scale down on the number of staff that they employ over time so that they could right-size their personnel budgets to fit within their available resources. I know this is not a nice response that everyone wants to hear, but unfortunately, this is the reality that we sit with. We cannot have a situation where municipalities live within a certain allocation and then say, we don't have enough, you need to add. Unfortunately, that's not how the system works. But what will be important in that process, and that was the point that's very, very critical in this regard, the municipality must definitely not be left in on their own to do this exercise. It will be critical that both the provincial COCTAs, as well as the provincial treasuries, as well as the national COCTA, as well as the national treasury, support the municipality in this exercise. It is a very painful exercise, but that right sizing will be very critical going forward. And this does not just apply to municipalities that's been merged, but also municipalities that's currently financially unsustainable. And I would like Ntlok Pilimani also to add more in this response. Then with regard to the three allocations versus the one allocations, it is not three allocations versus one allocation. It means that one municipality will get one base allocation because it is linked to an equitable share formula. That is how the system is designed. And it's by the nature of the amalgamation and the merger that a certain component is just allocated once. And that is unfortunately the way the formula works. It is not that there's deliberate reduction of the two base allocations. It unfortunately, because of how the formula is designed, it had to fall away. Mandla, I don't know if you want to add a bit with regard to the support we need to provide to municipalities in terms of budget oversight.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, we also from our side support in terms of the in each province we have put the MFIP advisors. They advise in range of issues ranging from the financial recovery plans, also the revenue management support in some instances. Also, the in terms of MSOA and the implementation thereof, we also have advisors that are located in each try to enforce the issue of funded budgets by assisting municipalities whose budgets are not funded to at least make sure that we start from a zero-based budgeting instead of just implementing an incremental budgeting each and every year. So those are some of the initiatives from our side in an effort, you know, to try to assist municipalities that are struggling in financial distress. Thanks, Chair.
Dikok.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Wendy had begun to propose an intervention, Chair, you know, apart from just the DDM, where, you know, it should be the provincial treasury, the provincial COCTA, together with the counterpart departments at the national level, also providing targeted support to these affected municipalities. Now, you'd recall, Honorable Chairperson, that in my presentation, I had indicated that in May of 2016, you know, MINEC had identified the Eastern Cape as well as the Limpopo province as those provinces requiring this targeted support. And while we had gone down there, you know, a whole lot of stakeholders, national, provincial, even at the district level, we made some serious commitments with distinct time frames to achieve certain things. Unfortunately, Chairperson, you know, we hadn't seen that through. We didn't monitor it properly, and perhaps, you know, a lot of these things then fell through the cracks. So I think, you know, immediately after this, Chair, we would need to see how we engage with the province and try and, you know, apart from DDM, develop this intervention plan to try and provide this targeted support. That would be my input, Chair. I see also my colleague Nkensani Makondo in the meeting, and I'm not sure if she would want to add something. I know that she provides dedicated support to the province. So through you, Chairperson, I'm not sure if Ms. Makondo would want to add anything. Thank you.
Yes, Makondo, you are deployed in the Eastern Cape.
No, I work from the head office, Chairperson. Good afternoon. And thank you very much for the opportunity. We've been supporting the province in terms of the Back to Basics program. And as Dr. Naidu has alluded to, we have a task team that comprises both DCOG, National Treasury and Provincial, to look at the 16 financially distressed municipalities. And currently the work that we have begun doing is to profile within the district development model the potential of each district, as well as the functionality or the operations of the local municipalities and their capacity to contribute to the economy. And as we begin to now sift through the catalytic projects, capacity challenges of municipalities. And I also believe that the work of the IMC task team, particularly on dealing with the municipal debt issues, is going to also inform the work of the support plans that are going to be developed to support these struggling municipalities to stabilize. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Kentani. HOD, Fanny. HOD, Cocker in the
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, we are three inside chair, there's DDG. I don't want you to be surprised, the Deputy Director General for Local Government is here as well, Pashi, Ms. Pashi Hobochi, and then Charity. But I would want first to indicate on the question that has been asked, where Honorable Chair was saying to me, are these interventions in somewhat working? Let me just indicate, Honorable Chair, that we're struggling in some of the on the interventions. I think in Mkijima, we struggled a lot in terms of the acceptance of the administrator that has been sent there. And the owing chair, if the MEC was there, will speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about intervention, amalgamation, not intervention.
Oh, okay. No, thanks. Thanks.
About the amalgamation itself. Has it worked?
You know, no, it doesn't. It didn't work. It didn't work. We have been trying our level best to make it work, but I think that there are a number of problems that we are facing in it. To an extent that in a number of municipalities, these amalgamated municipalities on debt owed by Eskom, we had to go to the cabinet and request cabinet to allow us to pay certain amounts for these municipalities to help them and rescue them from the challenges that they are facing. And that is inclusive of also the AG, Auditor General, amounts that are owed by the municipalities. The second point, Honorable Chair, that I would want to indicate, the Honorable Member asked whether councillors are capable of doing their work. I would be indicating reluctant as an administrator. I would but say, in most instances in these municipalities, there are political problems that cannot be solved by administrative solutions. There are problems of division sometimes that are important to the municipality. And at the end of the day, the administrative arm or government in terms of the MEC would be unable somewhat to deal with some of the challenges which are political within government. But then the responsible NGO at that point in time would have to deal with some of the matters. And that in itself creates difficulties. It creates difficulties in this sense. Some of the administrators do not become professionals. They would some think that they are politicians and take sides in terms of the divisions that would be there. And that in itself creates a number of problems in terms of us attending to some of the things. A case in point which I can mention is that in most instances, there should be consequences on certain things that are happening in the municipalities. But at some point, there would be delays to an extent that the MEC would have to intervene. If a councillor has created some kind of challenges against the code of conduct, you would find that there is no enthusiasm to deal with those kind of challenges owing to the divisions that are there. But the MEC would find a way of intervening into those areas. The other point, we would follow up on the racism issues raised, Honorable Chair. We are not aware. We believe that probably in that environment, the municipality would be a better place to be aware of those cases. There are no cases that have been reported to us at this point in time as petitions, because we would have followed them if there's a petition that has been sent to the MEC. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I'll allow the DDG or Charity Siwunu, director, to come in and fill some of the areas that I've left behind.
Honorable Chairperson, before the DDG comes in, let me come in, HOD. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I'll respond to two issues, Honorable Chair. Just a rider, one of the issues is just a rider, Honorable Chairperson, though as an administrator, perhaps I've got limitations on what the HOD has just alluded to. The question of reluctance by e-councillors. If you look, Honorable Chairperson, if we were to give a spreadsheet of the revenue collection or monies that are owed by the owed to the municipalities by different stakeholders, you can look at the businesses, you look at e-households, When you do a proper analysis, Honorable Chairperson, you'll find that most of the monies that are owed to the municipality, the bulk amount of money is from residents or communities. And it's at that point where we see that some councils have got a reluctance of playing their role in terms of them encouraging communities in paying these amounts of money. So when UHOD is talking of a reluctance to, in respect of councils or councillors in playing their work, this comes to the front or to the fore very strongly, because some businesses do owe municipalities, because a municipality must generate revenue, whether we like it or not. And especially if you look at the debt that has been incurred by these municipalities in respect of Eskom, municipalities are owed huge sums of money by communities. And the department or the department keeps on encouraging municipal councils to play their role in terms of collecting monies. Then there's a reluctance, and they become more and more and more indebted. But one last question as a parting shot, Honorable Chairperson, to respond to Honorable Hlengiwe Mkhalipi. There was I need to clarify, Honorable Member, on the issue of human resource. You indicated that in one of the slides, it was talking to a remuneration of councillors. You are correct, Honorable Member, in saying when the new entity came into existence, there was a new council, that is after elections for 2016. Then there was a new mayor, new speaker, and Jalonja. But what I was referring to, Honorable Member, is the question of now. There are councillors that were in, for example, there was a council of Municipal A, which was grade 2, in terms of remuneration of the, in terms of the upper limits for councillors. The other councils were grade 2, other councils were grade 4. So what I'm referring to there is that for the new entity, there was even a guideline from National COCTA to say the new entities, the councillors must be paid at the level of the highest grade in respect of the remuneration of the councillors. So that's I wanted to clarify that when I was talking to remuneration of councillors, I was talking to that the new entity in respect of the councillors, they had to take the top-notch kind of, or they have to take the upper grade. But in respect now of the employees, it was going to be a different case, because there had to be job descriptions, placement, and many other issues that are HR related. So I wanted to clarify that, Honorable. I hope I satisfy you, Honorable Member. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Charity.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you, HOD. I think the HOD has taken care of the critical issues, but I think I must add on the question or comment that was made by Honorable Mkhalipi on issue that says what happened to mayors and speakers. In terms of the merger or when merger happened, we'll recall on the presentation that was made by the province, there was a political entity that is Change Management Committee, which seeks to be dealing with the issues of political processes. And in such cases, the political CMC decided as to who is going to be the speaker or the mayor. But generally, or in principle, Honorable Chair and members, the rest of others who didn't make it to be the mayor, both the mayor had to be one and speaker had to be one, they formed part of the council. That's in principle. The issue of Ward 8 and 9, I think the HOD talked about it. We are following it up, Honorable Chair. We'll make a submission through the HOD and the MEC. Now, coming, there was a comment on the issue of the litigation that was raised in the presentation. That was one of the problems that made the municipality to be a little bit or a bankrupt, because they came from everywhere and they were coming from one municipality, the Enswell Equals, as Charlie indicated. We had different work stream, as it was indicated by Charity, your HR, your finance, etc.
In terms of the litigation, as department, we had our legal services to assist the municipality to have those the register of that and follow up as to how do we deal with that. But of course, the municipality was leading on that to make sure that those that we can investigate, they're investigated. Of course, there are those that we could not, Honorable Chair. Now, coming to the issue of the interface, political and administration interface, I must say, as the HOD has indicated, it's a general problem, Honorable Chair, that there is a problem wherein administrators are expected to resolve political problems by administration. But if you look at Dr. Beth Nodde, Chair, there was a question, even if I'm not going to respond directly, let's check if the administration is called to the task. I can't talk on behalf of the political arm or leadership. I think as for Dr. Beth Nodde, Chair, as we are interacting with them, mainly on the, I'll make an example with the ESCOM debt, they've been leading in the province to be firm and understanding their plight. To an extent that we benchmark with them in terms of dealing with ESCOM on the wheeling agreement, that we know it's a countrywide problem. And so far, we have been doing good on that part. In that, I'm trying to show that they are equal to the task, the administration, and working together with them. So I think I can just comment on that one. I won't comment on the political part, Honorable Chair. I think I must just stop there. The last part is the one that Charity also indicated, that part of the problems that we have, especially in managing debt, is the public participation part, which is a baseline or basis for everything in local government. If our political champions or public representatives can also play their part in terms of making sure that the citizens know what is it that they have to do, especially when it comes to servicing their debts to the municipality. And included in that, Honorable Chair, members will be the actual councillors. Make sure that they service the debt so that they lead by example for the municipality to generate the revenue. I think, Honorable Chair, with your permission and members, let me stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, DDG. Then can I hand over to the Mayor of Walter Sisulu to respond to the labor questions? And as you do that, you must tell us, because we are aware that so many employees are taking the municipality to court for the municipalities also failing to place them accordingly. So you will tell us how many cases do you have as litigation? Did you manage to absorb all the staff and then all those types, sorts of things, and those things that are specific? And then to say, what is the public saying? Are they happy, given having heard what the HOD has said? There might be a lot of outcry from the communities there. Can I start with the Mayor of Walter Sisulu?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to Chairperson. Greetings to you, Chairperson. I greet all the leaders who are there in terms of protocols. Chairperson, let me start first by saying we appreciate this opportunity. Apology for the report that is not sent. Yes, I was trying to email it. IT handicapped. Let me start first with the...
So somebody said about the issue of IT and the Eastern Cape mustn't withdraw.
It's for IR. I'm in the semi-urban area. Let me just go straight to amalgamation versus what we have been faced as Walter Sisulu local municipality. I think we'll all understand that amalgamation was based in Maltswayi and Gariep, elsewhere Gariep, as a financial viability. But I think the issue of extending it in terms of looking at, can it be the newborn municipality be independent in terms of socio-economic, and can it live on its own without being backed up by finances from the government? But it's so unfortunate. That did not happen. I think politically, I can say so, that we just had these new babies, but with not looking how social development will help in terms of
and the existing resources, because there are no industries, no jobs even at that time. And the register was based on indigenous register. So it says that it will not grow even at NO. Whether we will take it back to, because we are coming from plenary municipalities as a collective now, but it does it say what we have in terms of equitable share, in terms of the grants, is it going to sustain? And looking to the population and the growth and the development of human citizens that are now in Walter Sisulu. I think let me start there, Chair. And Chair, let me say, with the amalgamation alluded on that, you see Walter Sisulu face, if I can say, critical issues. It's the issue of Eskom, which Charity has already alluded, which as the council of youth municipality striving as we are now going to conduct NESA. Because these areas where there was the amalgamation, most of the residents are getting the supply from Eskom, which is in credit control and revenue collection or revenue enhancement. It's not easy to implement credit control policy because you have to cut, you know, in the area where it's municipality who's bringing the services. Now you have to go and cut and then you'll collect. But with these areas, you don't have water. That was where the service provider before 2012, that was taken up by the authority services, which is Joe Gabi. Now you don't get anything.
Mayor, Majora, face us. You are facing up.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Okay, let me face you. Thank you. So I'm saying with the issue of the residents that are owing the municipality in terms of services, it's not easy to implement your credit policy. And even if you want to respond to revenue enhancement policy, it's not easy because you have this license that is with Eskom. And then when you implement that of cutting, you can't go through because it's Eskom issue. And remember, before the amalgamation, in 2012, there was a service that the municipality, both Eskom municipalities, were rendering on behalf of Joe Gabi as service providers. Then it was taken over in 2012. Now water was no longer with the municipality, which they were getting some certain sentiments or amounts to service in the municipality. Now you are only left with electricity, which in amalgamation, looking at the debt that Charity has already alluded, that you have this huge debt from Malswai, you have huge debt from Kharib, then you have to service this debt. At the same time, this money of Eskom is also subsidizing the services of the municipality. So I'm saying Walter Sisulu is facing three things that are critical. Others might not be listed, but the critical one is you are dealing with an unfunded budget, which is derived from the amalgamated towns. First, Malswai, which was Alwa North, was amalgamated with Jamestown, where there's no revenue, there's no employment, no industries. Then you take Kharib, which was amalgamated with Steinsberg and Fenderstadt. Then you can see that we're in the spaza shop, if I can call it that way. So you have unfunded budget, which is alluded by irregular expenditure. Remember, once you begin to use a chairperson, the monies or that you're supposed to pay to Eskom, and they're subsidizing your services as a municipality, that's irregular expenditure immediately. Then it leads you to the municipality that will go doing the payable of the history. You get the funding of the financial year, but you fund the previous year. The placement, it also affects us in terms of HR. Because in terms of the workers, you take all both the employees from elsewhere municipalities, you have that huge number of the cost. And we are in litigation. We're still in bargaining council, but we have tried as a municipality to say,
we absorb, there was Section 139, which we cannot talk it about now. But during that time, we have, as the municipality, well, I have to say that, we absorb 60 general workers, which has led us now in this situation. But in terms of us coming with remedies of that, we said, okay, because you have also critical posts that are in there in your organogram, then when you are doing the advert, you should first consider those. They apply, looking their qualifications, then you absorb them in a way of saying, if they apply and qualify in the critical posts that are advertised, you absorb. Out of 60 now, we are left with 37, which were in the process now, because some of them, they are left because we are still in that bargaining council, which we are still in those negotiations, but we're no longer talking about 60 people. We had a case of the ex-municipal manager, which it has taken us to court, to the appeal court. The municipality has won it, because as council, we renew the contract of ex-municipal manager, but he has now intended to take it to the high court, to the constitutional court. So, but we won in the appeal court in Bloemfontein. So now he has shown the intention of taking it to the constitutional court. So we have those litigation that are with us as a municipality. And also the issue of service providers, that as a municipality, you have service providers that you cannot pay in 30 days. As I'm saying, now we're facing Eskom account and we have to oblige in terms of paying it. And now you need to reinforce. So I will talk the problem and the resolution or solutions in place. As the council said, no, let's reinforce all those business services. For example, the refuse management in the municipality, the property management, then let's reinforce those revenues. And then we must live in cost-effective plan so that it tariffs, so that each and every department must sustain and make sure that its services are continuing. We have also tried to engage with DPSA, which we have already made an agreement as a municipality, that it assists us in socio-economic and with the Eskom debt. Out of that, I think it has helped us. Something that we have always raised it, even to the NCOPs, the issue of that, we have a willing agreement with Eskom. Are we getting what we are supposed to pay as a municipality in that willing agreement? Secondly, the towns have developed in terms of the usage of the electricity. Are we supposed to be using the same tariff or power that we are given as Eskom? The third one, as the municipality, we are servicing the lines, because remember, as we're having, they are using our lines to give to their users. When there's a strike or there's a cut or the damage, as a municipality, because you want to respond to the unhappy community, you must go and work there in those lines. Is the ELSCOM paying us? No. So we entered with DPSA to much, it's not money-wise, but it has helped us as a municipality to see the gaps. Where are we, if I can call it, where are we robbed? The issue of NESA, this one, I think we need assistance. Much as the municipality, we are beginning to engage now with NESA in terms of the license with Eskom. Because as a municipality, we have looked at, we cannot pay in terms of agreement. We have resumed the negotiations, but we've been trying to say, Eskom, give us the time, because it should be about affordability, this issue of paying the account. But unfortunately, we are bringing the agreement as a municipality, the proposed agreement of 10 years. Eskom say, no, you pay 283 million in the term of 3 years, which in the municipality, your revenue is 10 million monthly. In that 10 million, if I can put it in words, you spend 7 million for salaries. You are left with 3 million. In that 3 million, you must pay the pensions first, because we have agreed to say, okay, let's agree that yearly, sort of monthly basis, we're paying 1 million in those pensions. And then we negotiate with the worker that is about to retire, that fine in this, you stay up until we finish, but it must not exceed 65 years. As the municipality, let's say, if you are about to retire this year, let's make sure that we pay your pension. Then when you retire, your debt is finished. Sorry, your pension is settled. You don't struggle when you're out. But I can agree and not lie and hide that we are still facing, because there were those employees that who left before those agreements, that you get litigations that my pension has not yet been found, but we are making sure that we are engaging. I think with service delivery, it's a struggling thing. Because in terms of the post, you have to fit the critical post of the Section 56, Section 57, but compliance in terms of giving the services, it's not there. You just want the compliance in the annual statement that your all vacancies are closed. But unfortunately, down there, people are not getting services. And it makes the community to be unstable. Even now, as the municipality, we have litigation, but we have coming from it by election now. As I'm sitting yesterday, we were finishing our by elections as the municipality, where even councillors, they become so naughty, selling land sites, all those things, but development is going and nowhere. Chair, I'm going to sit because Charity has alluded a lot of things in terms of the municipality. But I want to say this issue of the funding and the treasure to look at this amalgamated municipality, even if the payment goes to ESCO, not to the municipality, then we see now the municipality starting to do their mess. Thank you very much, Chair. I cannot more emphasize that we are happy that we are giving this opportunity. So I think, let me hand over to you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Yeah, one fair person that I've ever come across, Mayor, to thank say, you, yes, Mayor, we are not able to deliver the service because others want to take credit.
Thank you.
No, we sincerely appreciate your honesty, honestly. Thank you, Mayor. Can I then ask the Mayor of Raymond Mhlaba?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for this opportunity. I wish to greet everybody who is in this meeting.
Can you introduce yourself?
Come again?
Introduce yourself.
My name is...
They allow you to log in as Galatina.
Okay. My name is Bandile Ketelo. I'm the mayor of Raymond Mhlaba Municipality. As I was saying, Honorable Chairperson, I'm greeting everybody who's part of this meeting. I think the presentation that was made by COCTA in the province had captured a number of things. And I would like to get into some of the things that they've already captured. However, I think given this opportunity to make this presentation, I just want to point out that insofar as the placement of staff is concerned, we've made a number of strides as the municipality. Of course, not without a number of problems that we faced, because one of the reasons where we had a lot of problems is that on the eve of the municipality, we came to understand that a lot of illicit appointments were made, which added to the bloating of the staff, and as well as a number of litigations thereafter for people who said they had been appointed and there was a dispute around those issues. However, we've tried to discuss some of these things. We've tried to solve them through discussions and, of course, through the legal processes as well. Currently, at the moment, we are at the stage where we've completed a section of the placement of staff. However, we've allowed now for staff to make the appeals, those who feel aggrieved about the placements that they have been, that they've been awarded by the placement committee. So we are waiting for those who are affected and those who are aggrieved to give us give the appeals, so that those appeals are dealt with by at least the appeals committee, which would also include the external officials. So that's the problem. However, it should be pointed out that one of the problems that we're having is the question of pay parity as a municipality, because we have merged two municipalities, one at the level of grade one, another one at the paid at the level of grade three at the time. And we've had to bring those who are paid lowest to the level of those who are paid high. So that has affected us a lot, and we've had a number